Hi, my name is Dr. Mark Alandari, and I'm an infectious diseases specialist in New Orleans.
Hi, my name is Hope Hickerson, and I'm a health education specialist and reporter. This is the Noise Filter Podcast, where an infectious diseases physician,
that's me, and a health education expert,
that's me, talk about what you need to know to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy.
For more information about Noise Filter, your public health podcast, and to watch and share our incredible informative animations, please visit us at noisefiltershow.com.
And if you like what you hear, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to us. So, let's get started.
National Highway Study reveals increase in impaired drivers. It's well known that alcohol impairs a person's ability to safely operate a vehicle. There have been numerous efforts to educate drivers about the risks of drinking and driving and to prevent them from doing so. However, a new study published by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration suggests that the landscape of impaired driving is changing, and this presents new challenges for keeping roads safe.
The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration analyzed blood samples from over 7,000 seriously injured roadway users, and found that 55% had one or more impaired substance present. Amongst those substances were the most common were THC at 25%, alcohol at 23%, stimulants at about 11%. Now, while alcohol is still a leading factor in serious motor vehicle accidents, the increasing presence of THC and stimulants in toxicology reports presents new challenges for law enforcement and policymakers.
As cannabis becomes more legally accessible and more widely used throughout the country, it's likely there will be an increase in the number of drivers under the influence of THC. In addition, the use of stimulant prescriptions, particularly among people of driving age, is also increasing in the U.S.
The administration also suggests that the use of substances other than alcohol is a growing risk to roadway users in the U.S. The increased use of these substances, combined with the comparative difficulty of detecting them during routine traffic stops, creates a risk with few remedying options. These findings, paired with data, show that increased THC and stimulant use paint a picture of a country with a growing number of impaired drivers on the road who are not under the influence of alcohol. This presents a major risk to roadway users and the highlight for the need for new approaches to addressing impaired driving.
Poor employee mental health and the cost it has on the economy. Researchers have found that mental and physical health are interconnected, affecting the way we think, feel, and behave, and that mental health therefore encompasses our psychological, social, and emotional well-being. Mental health affects all aspects of our lives, including at work. An employee's mental health can affect key performance indicators such as productivity, creativity, and social engagement. Businesses need the full potential and flourishing of their workers in order to thrive and grow, so more and more businesses are working to prioritize mental health in the workplace.
The number of U.S. workers who report being in fair or poor mental health make up nearly one-fifth of all U.S. employees. This fifth also reports about four times as many unplanned absences as those who report being in good or very good mental health. The link between poor employee mental health and high economic burdens is well established. Lost productivity, absenteeism, recruiting and training new employees, and possibly higher health insurance premiums are all costs associated with poor employee mental health. These costs can add up even for small businesses.
There is an uneven distribution of mental health programs among the working population. For instance, women are more likely to report poor or fair mental health than men, and over 30% of workers under the age of 30 report higher mental health challenges related to work, compared with 11% of those aged 50 to 64 and 9% of those over 65. The result of poor mental health at work can also be strained relationships with coworkers, poor relationships with managers or superiors, decreased company revenue, low morale, job flight risks, and damaged reputations and negative brand associations.
Today's job seekers consider wellness programs and benefits very critical, and it is possible to boost productivity with happier, healthier employees and create a more supportive and vibrant work environment by investing in the well-being of one's employees, giving them the ability to attract and retain top talent. It's also important for companies, which are dominantly older, to realize this.
exercise as a prescription for Parkinson's. There is a large growing body of research that supports the positive effects of exercise on Parkinson's disease patients. For many, it has helped to regain their strength and mobility. Parkinson's disease is the second most common neurodegenerative disease after Alzheimer's and affects more than 10 million people worldwide. People with Parkinson's experience a loss of motor skills, which often manifests as tremors, rigid and unsmooth movements, shuffle stepping while walking, poor posture and balance, and over time, a decrease in cognition. This results from the death of a key population of nerve cells that reside in the location of the brain called the substantia nigra. These nerve cells produce an important brain signaling molecule known as dopamine, which helps to facilitate and initiate the execution of our motor skills along with other things.
Now, scientists are studying which exercises and at what intensity provide the greatest results for Parkinson's patients, and they hope to eventually have an exercise quote-unquote prescription to help prevent the symptoms related to the disease. This exercise prescription will likely include a combination of high-intensity aerobic, such as the stationary bike, as well as strengthening and stretching. Parkinson's specialists, neurologists, and researchers already suggest the importance of exercise to their Parkinson's patients. In fact, many people who currently have Parkinson's attest to the fact that the right combination of exercise can greatly improve their balance and strength and help offset some of the symptoms. One of our writers saw this firsthand in the Pilates studio where she worked over the summer. A person with Parkinson's regularly came to the studio to work out with one of the instructors. Our writer mentioned the extreme impact that this had on his balance, mobility, and quality of life.
You know, I also saw that when I was going to a CrossFit gym. They have a separately trained trainers that work with those who are experiencing some sort of either brain injury or a disease that affects the brain. And they were working with people who were struggling with the symptoms. And you could see it over time. You could see the difference that regular exercise was doing for them. So I believe in this wholeheartedly. So even though certain medications can help ease the symptoms of Parkinson's, such as dopamine supplementation, they often come with side effects and are not always as effective as one would hope. Experts are now saying that exercises are actually one of the best treatments for Parkinson's, and it can help at any stage of the disease. The goal of exercise is not only to improve, but also help with maintenance for Parkinson's patients. Since the disease is progressive, if you can maintain physical and cognitive function, that is actually improvement. In fact, there are several workout facilities that are designed specifically for Parkinson's, one of which is Rocksteady Boxing, which has locations opening globally.
There is a national Parkinson's helpline, which can be reached at 1-800-223-2732. They can help direct you to a variety of resources, including more information about exercise and even how to find options if a gym membership and trainer is cost prohibitive. Again, the number is 1-800-223-2732. If you or a loved one might benefit, we encourage you to call today.
Thanks for listening to Noise Filter, your public health podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to the Noise Filter podcast. Follow us on social media and leave us a review letting us know your favorite part of the show.
You can find me, Hope Pickerson, at hopepickerson.com.
And you can find me at Dr. Mark Allen Derry or at The Dr. Derry. That's D-R-D-E-R-Y.
To see and share our amazing animations and find out more information about us, the show, as well as links to our social media, go to noisefiltershow.com.
We are grateful to our sponsors, including Access Health Louisiana and the End the Epidemic Initiative, who are working to bring equitable health outcomes to everyone they serve. Hope, any last words?
Stay well out there, folks, and continue taking steps to keep yourself and your loved ones healthy. That includes exercise, a good diet, getting adequate sleep, and seeing your healthcare providers regularly.
And protect yourself and others by getting the COVID-19 vaccine and booster, wearing a mask, and social distancing wherever possible. Remember, health is a human right.